give me a lever long enough and I can move the world. Maybe you remember that quote from high school. That is from the famous Greek mathematician Archimedes. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to episode 322 of the Beginner Photography Podcast, brought to you by CloudSpot. I am your host, Raymond Hatfield, and today I am I'm in a hotel in Nashville, Tennessee, and it is raining outside, which means that I'm not getting outside. I'm not taking photos. I'm not going downtown, anything like that. So I thought, you know what? I think it's time to record an episode for all of my beautiful photo friends. So that is what I'm doing today. Now, that quote that I gave you there in the beginning, give me a lever long enough and I can move the world. You know, I think that one thing that I struggle with as a photographer, and actually this is just who I am as a person, is that I sometimes have a difficult time finding focus, right, on what actually needs to be done. I like to do the new, shiny, fancy thing. I think a lot of us do because, like, it's exciting. It's exciting to start something new, but it's not necessarily exciting to keep working on something long term, right? It just doesn't, I don't know what it is. It just doesn't have that same excitement as doing something new. So staying focused for me is definitely a challenge if I want to do anything, create anything of value, really. So oftentimes I find myself, you know, reading productivity books, business books, to try to give me some sort of answers into what I should be doing, right? But I think at its core, it all comes down to, well, there's a few things that I've noticed when it comes to productivity, and it's really interesting. The first one is that, you know, a number of years ago, I read a book called The 80-20 Principle. Now, if you don't know what the 80-20 Principle is, it is the idea that 80% of your results in whatever it is come from only 20% of your efforts. And then the remaining 20% of your results come from 80% of your efforts. So it's not 1-to-1. It's not even half and half, right? It's 80-20. And this idea came from I think it was an economist in Italy called Alfredo Pareto. I could have totally just butchered that. It just came off the top of my head. But what he found was that 20% of the landowners in Italy, 20% of the people owned 80% of the land in Italy. And when he broke it down, he found more things like that, right? So, in the job that he did, right? 80% of his pay came from only 20% of the things that he did. And then, so therefore the remaining 20% of his pay came from 80% of his time. So, the idea is figuring out how you can focus on the 20% that is going to yield 80% of the results, because most people don't even get to 80% of the results before they give up or start something new. So if you can figure out what the 20% of things is, to get those 80% of the results, then you're going to be successful. And then there's this quote that I told you here in the beginning, right? Give me a lever long enough and I can move the world. And this came from a mathematician, a Greek mathematician back, you know, 200, 300 BC, something like that, Archimedes. And I think that the idea is very similar, right? Like, one person cannot move the world. And we know that because we're on the world right now. So if we could move it just by simply standing here, we would be pushing it into a different portion of space, right? But we have tools, right? We have levers, we have pulleys. And in the world of, like, construction, right? Like, if you look at a crane, it can lift really heavy things. And you think to yourself, well, yeah, it's a crane. Of course it can carry heavy things like that. That's its job, is to lift heavy things. But if you look at the front of the crane, there's a series of wheels and pulleys, and that is designed to distribute weight differently. So it's not like one motor pulling one string that is going to lift up something very heavy. Putting the rope, the line, whatever it is, the steel rope, whatever it is, through a series of pulleys, it distributes the weight differently, and you can now lift something heavy with less effort. So what Archimedes is saying, if you, you know, so like, think of a shovel. I think a shovel is a good example for this. Hey, by the way, everybody, this is a photography podcast. So I promise you, I'm getting to my point. I promise. We'll get there. when you look at a shovel, right, you hold it like near the end of it, the top side, and then you get yourself a shovel full of, say, dirt, and then you put it into like a wheelbarrow, whatever it is. And that takes a lot of manual effort on your part. It's actually more effort than if you were to go down by the soil itself and pick up that dirt. But because, you know, we're tall people and we don't want to be on our hands and knees shoveling dirt, it makes more sense to use a shovel. And I was going somewhere with that. And I don't remember. Let me think. Okay, well, let me just go ahead and move on, right? When it comes to Archimedes' lever, this idea that we can move the world if we have a lever long enough, I think is a very powerful tool, because at the same time, that is like the 20% of effort that you're putting into something that is giving you 80% of the results, right? It's this tool that we use. We find our own advantage in something. We use it to our advantage, right? And then we get the results that we want to achieve. You know, this is why we no longer bake over a fire, but we bake, you know, say in ovens or something, because an oven is going to, you know, it's going to get hotter, it's going to get quicker, or it's going to get hotter quicker, which will let us, you know, achieve our job faster. And it requires a whole lot less effort than actually building a fire, tending that fire, and getting things done. So we're constantly, I think, as a society, as a human race, working to make our jobs easier. But when it comes to photography, which is very much a self-guided journey of sorts, sometimes we can get in our head. Sometimes we, what's the phrase? We can't see the forest through the trees, right? We're so in the middle of it that we kind of get lost in what we should be doing, what needs to be done. And on top of that, we love starting new things, or at least I love starting new things. My wife is much better about completing something, like completing a task, than I am, but she still gets excited about, you know, starting something new. And I think that we all do. We all get excited to, you know, for that fresh start, to try something new. And in photography, that can be difficult because there are so many things in the beginning to learning photography that it can feel very overwhelming. But if we focus on just a small, select, core set of ideas, right, to focus on, then our growth in photography is going to be much faster than if we tried to learn all of it at once, right? And you'll find that, I think, when I was learning photography, for me, honestly, manual mode was the 20% of effort that netted me the 80% of the results, right? 80% of my photos, of my proficiency as a photographer, came from learning manual mode. Shooting in manual mode, which is really only, you know, 20% of the job. There's so much more to it. You know, there's waiting for moment. There is composition. There's paying attention to lighting, right? But if you can adjust your settings and capture an image in just about any sort of light setting scenario, by shooting in manual, then you're already 80% of the way there. Now it's just, let's put the icing on the cake with the composition of the light and the moment, right? So for me, that was definitely my Archimedes lever. But I want to help you today try to find your Archimedes lever, because when you can find that out, then once again, you can focus on that one thing and then just kind of forget about everything else. Because there are a lot of things in photography that, you know, today we kind of live in this this age of very much consumerism. We're told that if, you know, we are not able to achieve a look that we want, then spending money on a new piece of gear or a new, you know, piece of software is going to be able to give us that result. So we've almost kind of stopped looking at how we can improve things ourselves and figure out where we can spend money to have these problems fixed for us. But at the end of the day, I think this is very much like social media, where it's like, these tools can be nice. They can help us. They can be genuinely helpful. Like, no joke about that. But we, since we don't own social media, since we don't own these platforms, since we don't own these pieces of software, or, you know, the tool, well, technically you can own, say, like a lens or something, but like, things can change very quickly. We're seeing that right now in the world of cameras, going from DSLRs to switching to mirrorless. I think Nikon is going to stop selling all DSLR cameras. Same with Canon. Sony hasn't sold a DSLR in probably a decade. But anyway, that means that like now all the things that we had in the past aren't going to work as seamlessly as they will in the future because, you know, it just has to be different. We have to progress. We have to do these things that are new. So I don't know. Maybe that was a bad example because it's not like you're going to go out and build your own camera and stick with that forever. But what I am saying is that, we should be looking, to ourselves and figuring out how we can achieve better images through things that we can control, that we are like 100% in control of, rather than looking to outside forces, right? And again, this is where Archimedes' lever comes in. What is the thing that we can do that is going to net us the results that we want, right? So unfortunately, you know, the thing is that I can't give you an answer. And I've said this several times on the podcast, is that photography is such a personal journey. Photography is such a, that's it. It's a personal thing, right? That I can't give you the answers because it's going to be different for you than it is going to be for me, than it is going to be, you know, person in the hotel room next to me. I think somebody's in the hotel room next to me. But regardless, it's going to be different for everybody. So while I can't give you the answer, I can help guide you through, I think, kind of the questions that I had or that I had to ask myself to be able to find an answer that works for me, and how I would go about this if I had to start all over again, right? So when I had first started in wedding photography, I didn't really think about like what was my thing at all, right? I think I was kind of still in the stage of like, well, my images should just speak for themselves. Somebody should be able to look at my image and say, that's what I want. And very rarely is that the case. Oftentimes people are much more motivated, especially in the world of wedding photography, by emotion and connection. And also at the same time, it can be a very stressful time in your life with everything that has to be planned that, you know, maybe you know that you need a photographer, but, you know, hiring quote unquote the best there is isn't necessarily at the top of your agenda. So sometimes it's just all about connections that is going to book you a job. And figuring out what that is going to be for you, again, is what is really important. So for me, what I thought was, you know, I had went to a few networking events, but I think that I was just very early on in my career and I was trying to do so much so fast that, I had a difficult time trying to make it into these circles, that had already been very established with other photographers and say, you know, wedding planners. So therefore, I kind of got this bad taste in my mouth real quick. So quickly, I thought, okay, well, how am I going to figure out how to, you know, book weddings, book brides? And for me, that answer was Facebook ads, right? So I decided, okay, if I'm going to book weddings, that is my main goal, right? As a professional in business, as a wedding photographer, a full-time wedding photographer, your goal, right? Your result needs to be booking weddings. So now I had to figure out, okay, now how do I reverse engineer this? There are a million ways to book brides. Like I said, you could network with a bunch of people, like a lot of other wedding planners so that they can possibly refer you to their clients. You can network with other wedding venues and be put on their preferred vendors list. So many things. You can just have a lot of connections with people. You can post ads in wedding magazines. You can go to bridal fairs. You know, you can have friends talk about you to their friends who are getting, you know, married or who are engaged. But for me, I chose Facebook ads. And I chose Facebook ads for a few reasons. One of them, as I said earlier about the networking, I just felt like the main core group of people at these few networking events that I had went to were so close that infiltrating that was going to be a task that was harder than it needed to be to achieve the results that I wanted, right? If I were to get into that group of people, well, then, yeah, that would be great. And I'm sure that I'd be able to book, you know, a few weddings through that. But for me, I thought I actually need to do this pretty quick. Because I really wanted to, you know, go full time, stay at home with my son. So how can I make that happen? And again, like I said, for me, that was Facebook ads. So what was going to be the 20% of effort that was going to give me the 80% of results, right? So let's just say that I wanted to book 50 weddings in a year, right? How do I, like, what can I do? What's going to be the 20% of efforts that is going to book me, what is it, what did I say, 50, so 40 weddings a year. What can I do to book 40 weddings out of 50 total weddings a year? So again, for me, that was Facebook ads. So it wasn't, you know, how much money I spent on Facebook ads. For me, the Archimedes lever was how many impressions I was getting on my ads. Now, I don't want to get too businessy in this, but the idea is that an impression is if you have an ad and somebody sees that ad, you just made an impression on them, right? So the more impressions I could make, then in theory, the more weddings I would book, right? If I had an ad going, if I spent $5 on an ad, it went for one day and 100 people saw it, I'll tell you what, I don't even know if I would book one wedding. But if I had an ad going for several months and several thousand, like maybe 10,000 people saw it, then I would could probably accurately assume that I'm going to book 40 weddings off of that. Now, I could go all in, right, and go to book the full 50 weddings, but I really do think that it is important to kind of diversify where you're, you know, paying your attention, where these weddings are coming in from. So for me, the other thing that I did was I would still go to these networking events and I would still try to, you know, talk with wedding planners. I would still go to venues. One thing that I did actually was I had a series on my photography Facebook page where I would go to wedding venues. I would set up a time to meet with like a wedding coordinator and then I would do a Facebook Live there with them. We would talk about the venue, kind of who their ideal bride is, and it would all be on Facebook Live. Brides could ask potential questions and, you know, do stuff like that. Now that, as you can imagine, right, it worked because not only was I building connections with venues, but I was also providing helpful information for brides. Now, again, as you can imagine, setting up a Facebook ad and pressing go might take an hour of my day, right? So it'll take about an hour per week to pay attention to those Facebook ads and what they're doing and how they're performing, right? Because I can track those numbers. If I can see how many people see my ad and I see how many bookings come in that time, well, then say 1,000 people saw my ad and one person booked, then I'd be like, great, now I just need 40,000 people to see my ad. I need to make 40,000 impressions. So then I could just dial up the ad spend until that happened and it would work. But still, that would only take me about an hour per week to do to make sure that that happened. Whereas going to venues took up a ton of time. Not only would I have to email the venue or call the venue, I'd have to figure out who the coordinator was. I'd have to pitch them on this idea of doing a Facebook Live. If they said yes, then we'd have to go over a few questions because each place is a little bit different, right? The type of bride who's going to go to a barn wedding or have a barn venue is going to be very different than a bride who's going to have a ballroom venue. So having a back and forth with them, figuring out kind of who their bride is, and then kind of figuring out what questions I can ask to lead to those sorts of answers to help those brides. And then, you know, come day of, I had to promote it on my Facebook. Hey, everybody, you know, check in. Or hey, everybody, come back at, you know, 2 p.m. today. I'm going to be doing a Facebook Live with, you know, name of venue here. I'll see you there. And then, you know, pack everything up, make sure the batteries are charged, get in my car, drive to this place. You know, it's about an hour away. Get there, meet with the person, you know, have some pleasantries before, you know, talking over what we're going to say again, who this is for, and then starting the Facebook Live and then going through this interview and doing it there while walking around and kind of looking at the venue. That takes a ton of time. So, but that was, you know, 80% of my time was taken up by doing those interviews and it led to 20% of the results. I would book, you know, say 10 weddings a year based on doing that, but I would book 40 weddings a year from just doing Facebook ads. It took a fraction of the time. So there's an example of that 80-20 rule, right? So for me, my Archimedes lever was not how many venues I could contact, how many, connections I could make with different wedding venues. It was how many impressions can I make with my Facebook ads? Because at the end of the day, that's what was making me money. But everything else was still important to build credibility and, you know, build connections with other vendors in the industry and things like that, right? So it is kind of a, it's a give and take, right? You just kind of have to do it. That's kind of the game that you have to play. So figuring out that 80-20 rule for me, that's what it was, right? But kind of shifting into this idea more of the Archimedes lever and how that can work for you, I think is really important, because I don't think that the Archimedes lever necessarily has to be photo focused, right? So let me give you some examples. Again, like I said earlier, if you have a business, hey, Raymond here. If you're sometimes baffled by which camera settings to use, then I've got just the thing for you. My free guide, Picture Perfect Camera Settings. It's a fantastic starting point for anybody eager to understand the basics of camera settings in various shooting scenarios. And it's tailored to beginners who want to get out of auto mode, providing clear, easy-to-follow suggestions on where to start with your settings. So whether you're capturing a stunning landscape or a family portrait, Picture Perfect Camera Settings will help you to get off of automatic mode and explore the possibilities your camera offers. Remember, mastering photography settings is a journey, and this guide is your first step and the perfect resource to guide you towards finding the right settings for your style. So grab your copy today at perfectcamerasettings.com and start your journey to better photos. Your Archimedes lever is going to be very different than if you were just shooting for your own personal use. So I'll share some examples of both. But what you need to be absolutely clear on right now before we can even get into, well, what's the 80%, right? What's the 20% that is going to yield the 80% of results? What is that lever? You have to know what you're trying to achieve. So in Archimedes' case, he was trying to move the world. So for him, he literally needed a lever long enough. That's what it was for him. He needed a long enough lever to move the world. So for your use case, it might be, or it's obviously going to be entirely different. You're not actually going to move the world. But let me walk you through a few examples here, right? So maybe you are let's say a headshot photographer, right? Somebody who is a headshot photographer is in business, right? They need to make money. So headshot photographer, let's just say specifically is working like with actors, okay? Not necessarily professional clients like lawyers or anything like that, but just actors. So that lead indicator for a headshot photographer might be how many agents you can connect with, right? How many actors, agents you can connect with, because each agent is going to have multiple actors who they represent. So if you can get in good with them, possibly you can get access to their clients to take photos for them, right? And then the lag indicator, which is, it's obviously going to be bookings, right? If you're in business, in that case, it is going to be bookings. It's not necessarily going to be sales. It's going to be bookings, because you can always adjust your sales after the fact. So for a headshot photographer, the lead indicator could be how many agents you connect with. And again, this could vary wildly depending on your type, how you want to run your business, right? Maybe you're also an actor. So maybe it's how many acting workshops you go to and meet other actors there and offer to give them headshots. It could be anything, right? But I'm just going to run through some examples here. Let's say that you are a landscape photographer, right? You want to make money from your landscape photos, but maybe like it's not a business, right? Like you have that full-time job. You just love getting out in nature and taking photos, and be really cool to sell some photos after the fact, right? So also figuring out kind of what your goal is. So let's say your goal is, No, I guess it really could be anything. It could be, you know, what kind of, how many prints you have sold, or how many maybe photos of yours have been downloaded from a stock website where you upload your photos. It could be either of those things. If that's going to be the goal, then your lead indicator, right, your lever, which is going to give you the most amount of leverage, is going to be how many different locations you have shot. Because when you go to a new location, you know, you might come up with 5, 6, 7 different photos. So it's not how many photos you've taken, it's how many locations you have gone to. So if you know that to, you know, say 1 out of every 20 photos that you end up publishing for print or, you know, on a stock website get downloaded or purchased, then you know that, say, if you get 5 photos per location, then you have to go to 4 different locations to make a sale. And you don't necessarily know what photo it's going to be, but now you have that number. So now the more locations that you go to mean the more sales that you're going to have. And again, like we talked about, that is just the 20% of efforts that you can do that is going to yield the 80% of results. The other things, you know, you might get a sale from somebody who just happens to see it on social media, or somebody who, this happened. I had, I interviewed, James Wheeler on the podcast very early on in the podcast, and he is a landscape photographer, but he has a full-time job. So he just goes out, and when him and his family go on trips or vacations, he just takes some landscape photos. And what he does is then he uploads those photos after editing them to stock websites. Well, one of his photos that he's taken has been sold. I think it's made like $40,000 or something like that. Like, just cause it's been downloaded so many times. And now, like, it's funny, I've seen it even very recently in an ad for, I think it was a Samsung monitor. Like, his photo was being used to sell as like the background wallpaper of this Samsung monitor. So, you know, sometimes a photo is just going to take off and it's going to react to the market differently than all of your other photos. And you get sales that way, but you can't depend on those. You have to work on what is going to be the 20% of time related efforts that you put in that's going to gain the 80% of your results. So that's landscape photography. Like I said earlier, you know, as a wedding photographer, maybe it's how many wedding events that you go to, right? Networking events. There's so many networking events with wedding vendors, you know, bridal fairs, or Facebook ads, you know, and then again, the lag indicator on that is going to be bookings. So the more things that you go to, the more events that you go to, the more people you're going to meet, the more people you meet, the more, you know, you're going to get in good with them. And then they're going to recommend you to their clients. And then at the end of the day, you're going to get bookings, right? So the more that you go to one of those things, the more bookings that you're going to have. Now, what about like a street photographer? So a street photographer, let's say that your goal is, it's just personal, right? Street photography for you is strictly, personal. You do it as a creative escape. So as a street photographer, that means that your goal is going to be, to, let's just say, how many blog posts you publish, right? You take a photo, you want to write about it on your website, kind of talk about that moment, what was going through your head, why you love this photo, maybe where you got the inspiration from. You love writing blog posts. So if writing blog posts is the goal, right, that's the lag indicator, then the lead indicator for you is going to be how many steps you get in a day. Not like on a treadmill, but like how many steps you get in a day actually out on the street. Because when you're actually out on the street, you take photos. So the more that you're on the street, the more that you walk, the more photos that you take, the more interesting things you're going to see, the more interesting things that you're going to see, the more that you're going to want to post about them on your website, on a blog post. Let's give another personal example here, right? Somebody who is maybe you just love to take photos of your own life, right? For me, I got 2 kids. So if I was just, you know, somebody at home, you know, or not somebody just at home, if I was just somebody who liked taking pictures of my kids at home or just doing things around the house or with the kids, right? Whatever the adventure is with kids, then the goal would be, maybe how many photos of yours are printed or put into a yearbook, or maybe just how many photos you keep, right? We take a lot of photos. So then that means that the lead indicator, if you love to just photograph your life or your kids or whatever, the lead indicator is the sheer number of photos that you have taken. So let's say in a day you take 300 photos. And you know that you're going to want to keep, out of those 300 photos, that you're definitely going to get two great photos that you absolutely love. So now you know, going forward, the more that you shoot, let's just say, you know, you shoot 600 photos in a day. Maybe you go out to like an event or something like that. Farmer's market, right? Some beautiful colors and, you know, you're walking the dog and you want to take some photos. You end up taking, say, 600 photos. You know that you're going to want to keep at least four of those photos. So if the lag indicator is how many photos you're going to keep out of all of the photos that you take, or how many photos you print out of all of the photos that you take, then you know that the more photos that you take, the more photos you will actually keep. And I think that's it. Like, that's kind of where I'm at right now as a photographer. Oh, you know what? You know what I'm going to do? I want to help you, because I know that sometimes, you know, you might be driving, you might be at the gym. So I'm going to go ahead and give you a PDF to download to kind of walk you through different ideas for what your Archimedes lever could be and how you can figure that out for yourself. Because again, everybody is totally different in who they are and their goals in photography, what they shoot in photography. So if you want to download that, you can just head over to beginnerphotopod.com/322 and you'll be taken to the show notes of this page. You'll be able to see right there where you can download this guide. And again, it's going to help you walk through what is your Archimedes lever. What can you do and focus on to achieve the results that you want in your own personal photography or professional photography? So again, download the PDF, the Archimedes lever finder PDF at beginnerphotopod.com/322. So I think that, you know, when it comes to my own personal photography, you know, over the past few years, I've kind of been falling out of love with weddings. I've been focusing less and less on Facebook ads, and trying to figure out what that next step is for me, right? And I've actually kind of felt lost, I'd say, probably over the last year, trying to figure out what the future of photography is going to look like for me. And maybe I should just do it. You know, like I should just start something. You know, oftentimes I can overanalyze everything way too far. Maybe I just need to actually like get going. But where I'm at right now, I'm definitely taking a lot of photos of my kids, and I've been taking a lot of photo stitches. And maybe photo stitches are like where I take my professional images from now on, right? Like I get into the world of fine art photography and sell photo stitches. So maybe I'll get into that. But so for me, taking photos of the kids right now, the most important thing for me is simply how many photos I take in a day, right? Actually grabbing my camera, putting it in my pocket, and then while I go on through my day, how many photos I actually take. Because then at the end of the day, I know how many photos I'm actually going to keep and how many photos are actually going to go into our family yearbook at the end of the year. You know, maybe I'll try something where I make those photos public, right? Maybe I'll share those photos. Okay, give me some time. I'm going to think about that. I like that idea, actually. And then that'll be the lag indicator, right? From how many photos I take in a month to how many photos actually get published and shared at the end of the month, right? Like, what is the difference between those? Anyway, and then when it comes to my stitches, and if you don't know, it's like where you use a long lens, right? Like a 85 millimeter lens to get kind of cropped into a subject. So one of my favorite ones that I've taken so far was when we were out in California. I went up to a park called Elysian Park. And it overlooks Dodger Stadium. I love the Dodgers, love Dodger Stadium. And right behind it is downtown LA. So it provides like this really nice backdrop. So for me, going out there, oh, right, I'm still explaining it, right? So you have a long lens, 85 millimeter lens or something like that. And then you take, it's the 85 millimeter lens is too zoomed in to capture the whole scene. So what you do is you take a series of photos, you know, 10, 12 different photos, all zoomed in. And then you print all those photos and then you stitch them together after the fact, right? After you're done taking the photos, after you've done edited the photos. And now it provides an interesting and unique perspective to something that maybe people have already seen, right? So that's the goal for me, right? So the lead indicator for me is just how many locations I actually go to. So while I'm here in Nashville, I was really excited to get out, and the downtown is a very, it has a notable downtown skyline with the AT&T building that looks like, you know, Batman, his mask with the bat ears and everything like that. And, it's just very unique. So I was planning on going out and taking that stitch, but with the rain, that's not going to happen. So I got to figure out what I'm going to do about that. Maybe tomorrow morning it'll clear up a bit. But anyway, so hopefully you can, you know, take this episode and figure out for yourself, you know, what are the most important things that you can do in your photography to get the results that you want. So one last time, if you are driving, if you're at the gym and you're getting some ideas, but you want to learn a little bit more, feel free to download my, I don't even know what the name of it is going to be, Archimedes Lever Strength Finder for Photographers PDF over at beginnerphotopod.com/322 and grab it for yourself so that you can figure out what your Archimedes lever is going to be. So that is it for this week. Until next week, you know, I would love to hear if you have an Archimedes lever, like if you know the thing that you have to focus on, come into the Facebook group. I want to invite you in there if you're not in there already to share it with us. Let us know what it is for you. So you can join by searching Facebook for Beginner Photography Podcast or just heading over to beginnerphotographypodcast.com and clicking the link at the homepage as well. And we'd love to have you in and be a part of one of the safest communities on the internet for photographers. So that is it for this week. Again, remember, the more that you shoot today, that's the lead indicator, the better you will be tomorrow. That's the lag indicator. See what I did there? All right. All right, everybody. I'll talk to you soon.